بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. So alhamdulillah, we'll continue now, finishing up the chapter on repentance. But I want to remind you of something, that this station of repentance is one of those experiences that are constant. So like Imam Ibn Qayyim said, فَتَوْبَ تَكُونُ فِي أَوَّلِهِ فَوَسَطِهِ وَفِي آخِرِهِ. He said, like, you know, repentance is always there. Wow, what a cute baby, mashallah. And like, if you have kids, I have no problem. Like, I love to see kids here, so I got a kid coming next month, inshallah. So I definitely got to make sure kids can come. You know, maybe it's a conflict of interest or just being smart. But like your kids are our kids. أَوْلَادُكُمْ أَوْلَادِنَا. And we treat children, unfortunately, sometimes like with disdain, man. Like we treat them like they're mukallafin. So like we kick them out of the mosque or we ask them to leave. Like no doubt, like of course we don't want unruly children. That's one thing. But alhamdulillah, yani, in general, alhamdulillah. So the sheikh, he says that وَلَطَائِفُ أَسْرَارِ تَوْبَةِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشَىٰ. Then he says like the subtleties of Tawbah, the secrets of Tawbah are three things. He said the first is another ila janaya wal qadiya. Like you should look at this mistake that we should look at the mistakes we made and then think about what is the ruling of God. Like, so I backbited someone. What's the ruling of God? I stole something, God forbid. Like, what's the ruling of Allah in that situation? فَيَعْرِفُ مَرَادَ اللَّهِ تَعْرَ فِيهَا. And then I should understand that Allah's will has been manifest in my life, that I have sinned. And we talked about this before. The commandment of God is different than the will of God. Allah's commandment is faith, but Abu Jahl was a kafir. That was the will of Allah. So there's the idea of agency and choice. The commandment is to believe. Abu Bakr, he believed. So the commandment and the will aligned. That's why in our winter retreat, or spring retreat, whichever one it was, we talked about how if the will of Allah manifests in opposition to the commandment of God, فَقْصِدْ دِدَّ, then go to the command, the commandment. So if I see like everything around me is bad, but the commandment is to be good, I shouldn't confuse the two, understand? So here, it's been manifest in my life that I'm a sinner. So he said, that should lead you to conclude two things. Like when this happens, because people tend to blame God for their sins. So he's saying, no, don't forget your agency. And within that agency, you should recognize two things. Number one, that at the end of the day, you have no true power. Like how many of us we said like, yeah, I'm gonna like go on keto, man, and like I'm gonna change my life, or you know, I'm gonna get this promotion, or I'm gonna like do this, right? At the end of the day, sometimes we don't achieve what we say we're going to achieve to remind us not to trust in ourselves. So he said like out of that there should be an increased awareness that you need Allah. Exactly. You need Allah, right? That I need Allah. The second thing is to realize that all the sins that you and I have committed before that were hidden, and even that sin. فَلُطْفِهِ بِسَتْرِ. Like, Allah hid that sin, even though I became aware of it. So I became aware of it. How did I become aware of it? Some kind of internal switch clicked on. I was down by 31. The switch clicked. But subhanAllah, no one else became aware of it except me. So it's like a sign of Allah's mercy, like that there's this intimate relationship. يَحُولُ بَيْنِكَ وَبَيْنَ قَلْبِكَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awakening you up, but not exposing you. She said, at that moment, there should be like this tremendous sense of gratefulness and reliance. And then like feeling responsibility, like a sense of agency. Then he says, the second component of the reality of Tawbah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established the fact that we've made mistakes. حُجَّ عَلَىٰ عَدْلِ. So I become aware that I have wronged myself. So that's called the station of i'tiraf. I acknowledge like I have made myself in a situation where I'm potentially eligible for Allah's punishment because of what I've done. And for those of you who are like first time here, I've always tried to kind of remind people that this text is like a really distilled form of spirituality. It's very distilled. And of course, each and every one of us are going to practice it according to where we are. Like, I'm by no means anywhere near this. It's amazing stuff, man. Yes. About what? Meaning that it's heavy. This is not like pop tasawwuf. This is like indie tasawwuf in a basement somewhere with Pete Rock DJing and Premier getting ready to jump on the set. Like, this is deep. It's not like, okay, let's like have fun. Like, he's like, no, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. So it's very distilled. But I like the pop stuff too, don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? But it's hard to translate even. Like, sometimes I was translating, I was like, man, I took a nap today, man. I was like, dude, his language, man. Okay. And now he moves on to where we stopped, and he talks about the types of repentance. And he says there's three types of repentance. The first are delusional. Like, and if anyone hearing this, you get like too depressed and you start beating yourself up too much, like, don't do that. Don't do that, man. That's not the purpose. Because we all like struggle, man. Like, you know. So the first is, he says, is the repentance of the ammi. What he means by that is a delusional commoner. That's rough language, man. Who thinks that it is merely done by increasing good deeds while committing the sin. So like, I'm still going to do my dirt, you know what I mean? But I'm going to increase other acts of worship. So I'm not going to take responsibility for it. I'm going to, like, for example, someone who abuses their spouse and prays in the mosque. Or someone that does something really evil. And what he means here is like deliberateness. Not because maybe someone's weak, maybe someone's struggling. That's different. One of the scholars was asked, like, what about a person that like continues to sin because of their weakness? But they're like trying. He said, hada mujahid fi sabilillah. Like, that's a form of jihad and nafs. We're talking about now someone that just doesn't care, man. So they're like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to take any responsibility for it. But you know what? I'm going to do like charity. And I know that charity is going to fix it. Or I'm going to be nice to people. So I'm not taking responsibility. But the condition of tawbah is al-iqla, to stop. So he's saying like, that's a state of delusion, may Allah save us. I know when I read that, I was like, man, I've been there before. Like, when I was translating this, I was like, man, I have a lot of problems, subhanAllah, right? Because like, oh yeah, I did that once. Oh yeah, I did that once, right? So he said, this is someone who thinks that it is merely done by increasing in good deeds or without taking any responsibility for their actions. And he said that attitude really causes three things to happen, which are a total disaster. He said, number one is forgetting that Allah blessed you when He hid the sin from everyone else. Number two, laziness and thinking that the sinner has a right on God. Like, so if I do this, God will take care of this. God has to. And he said the third, and he says this is the root of all evil, is that the person assumes they're autonomous of Allah. Like, I set the parameters of the relationship. and that God has to repay that person. The second type of Toba, which is also delusional but in a different way, is that instead of doing good, and keep in mind there's deliberateness involved in both of these people, right? Again, this is not someone that's struggling. It's not someone that's trying and slips. That's very different. This is someone that's just like, it's all gravy, man. It's all good. Let me rob this bank. I'll just pray Fajr tomorrow, right? It's crazy, right? So he said the second type of repentance, what he called al-wusta, the middle, is to reduce the sin without leaving it. So I'm not even going to replace it like with something good or try to do something good to counteract it. I'm just going to reduce it. While saying to myself, Allah is so merciful, Allah is so forgiving. And he said, this is being bold with God. Like this is a form of being bold with Allah. Jur'ah, which means to be bold and like blatant. Wal mubaraza bil ithm, and to be like open with sin. Like I've accepted it. Like, right? We said like repentance is to feel like I need to stop. I need to distance myself from it. I need to leave it. Here it's like, it's all right. I'll just keep doing it. But I'll reduce it. Again, we said earlier, with people that have psychological challenges or chemical dependencies, that doesn't apply here because that's a process, right? We have to look at sins as either being process-based or event-based. But there's a general rule that any sin that's hurting others should not be treated as a process because I'm harming people in general. But here, he's talking about those sins that I can stop, man. So I do what's like I reduce iqlalu al-ithm, like I reduce it, but I continue it, and then I say to myself, Allah ghafur, Allah rahim, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, no problem, alhamdulillah, no problem. And again, he said that's a problem because it's a form of being bold with God. It's continuing in sin. Allah says, walam yusirru ala ma fa'alu. The Quran says like they don't continue the sin. Meaning with some deliberateness. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Right? And they know. He said also the other problem of this is like there's a form of complacency in the relationship. Like I'm not doing my part. And he said the challenge of this is if someone continues this way, they're going to cut themselves off from Allah's, the relationship with Allah. Yes.
Are these theological problems? It seems like to some extent the person has dictated that, you know, I'm going to practice religion as I deem fit. And it's not about knowing who Allah is. It's about like, this is what makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right? That's why he said autonomy is idea being like Islam versus Islam. Or Herslam versus Islam. I'm now telling God how I... It's like the satanic challenge, right? You created him out of this, you created me out of this, like I'm better than him. Let me set the parameters. So yeah, and that's the beauty of this book. That's why I said it was distilled earlier, is that I have a problem when we don't study Islamic sciences thematically. So we study like tasawwuf without aqidah. Like how do you study tasawwuf without aqidah when the foundation of tasawwuf is ikhlas, and the foundation of ikhlas is tawheed? So like we did this even with, when I studied before, like we took all the rules of hadith, we didn't read one hadith. So then we went to the class, and the sheikh started reading from these big books of hadith. He's like, this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule. We're like, I don't remember any of those rules. But if we had studied the text with the rule, so when people study Arabic, for example, they don't study literature. So then they find themselves like, I know i'rab, marfu', mansub, majzum, I know all the rules, but I can't read. Why? You didn't practice reading. Tasawwuf cannot be divorced from aqidah. Because the process of tasawwuf is to travel to Allah. And the only way to travel to Allah is la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So yeah, it's good you picked that up, alhamdulillah. And there's no aqidah without tasawwuf. That's why Sayyidina Malik used to say, "Man tasawwafa wa lam tafaqqaha faqad tafassaqa." Who studied faqad tazandaqa, who studied tasawwuf without aqidah will leave Islam. "Wa man tafaqqaha wa lam tasawwafa faqad tafassaqa." And who studied aqidah without tazkiyat an-nafs will become a sinner. They'll become harsh and tough. Sayyidina Shafi used to say, "Faqihan wa sufiyan fakun laysa wahidan." Shafi used to say, a Sufi or a scholar, don't be either or. وَإِنِّي بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ أَنصَحَكَ. I'm advising you this. He said, هَذَا قَاسٍ لَمْ يَذُقْ قَلْبُهُ تُقَى. The scholar, like the academic, that hasn't had the internal sciences, is harsh-hearted, never tasting taqwa. وَهَذَا جَهْلٌ. And the person that has all these inner experiences without foundational knowledge is ignorant. وَكَيْفِ يُصْلِحُ الْجَهْلُ. And how can an ignorant person fix anything? As we said earlier, subhanAllah, that balance is so important. And again, like some of us may lean more towards something than other people, like that's normal. One time, one man, he wrote to Imam Malik, he said, "You're not Sufi enough." To Imam Malik, man. Because Imam Malik used to dress really nicely. He came from a good family, like as far as financially. He was someone who like had a little mashallah swagger, you know? And he dressed nicely. So he wrote him that letter and he said, "You don't fast enough, you're not zuhud, blah, 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 blah," right? "You teach too much," right? So Malik wrote back, he said, "Inna Allah qasama al-a'mal kama qasama al-amtar." Like Allah distributed actions like He distributed rain. So you're doing good, I'm doing good, alhamdulillah, it's all gravy. Kulna ala khair. But like never to the point where we sacrifice our own practice, right? Our own balance. He said the second type of tawbah, the delusional type, is where I reduce the sin while invoking Allah's mercy to justify continuing to do it. We all been there, man. When I read the first time, people were like, shh. Right? Well, I almost did it myself when I'm reading it. And that is, he said, a form of being bold with God. It's a blatancy in committing sin and complacency. It's a form of just the soul justifying, as you said, like what's halal, what's haram, what's good, what's evil. And that leads to eventually al-muqata'a, right? Where I separated myself from Allah. The third type of tawbah is that of those people who are focused on God. And that is to repent. And these aren't the only types, right? So he can't write a novel. So he's just going to give you a few of his opinions, maybe what was important in his time. And he said, but these are people who, one of the things that they repent for is wasting time. Because it leads, he said, wasting time leads to the worst evils. Prophet said that there are two things most people lose blessing out on. It's like one is free time. One of the challenges of a capitalist-driven society is that leisure is something to be achieved. So everybody's chilling. I'm chilling. We had this teacher, mashallah, he was from Brooklyn. We used to say like, "Sheikh, I'm gonna chill." He's like, "You're gonna chill till you thaw in hell." That was the 90s, man. What can I say? We took it to the jaw. Like, whoa, I'm not chilling. I'm burning up. But the point he was trying to say is like, use your time, man. But there is, of course, like, we need time to relax, of course. Like, we need time to recalibrate. That's different. But here it means to waste time, not to use my time. He said, because that leads to some of the worst evils. It extinguishes the light of awareness and mindfulness. And it corrupts true companionship. And what he means here is the companionship with Allah. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would travel, what dua would he make? Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are my companion while I travel. So the idea of suhba ma Allah. So like if I'm not, you know, like I don't hang out with people who do, like generally do things I don't want to do. You know, like I'm not going to hang out with someone that like wants to do something I'm not into. Like all the time. Of course, I'll sacrifice a little. So what about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's called istithmar al-awqat. Am I harvesting those times. And now, mashallah, the month of Ramadan is coming. So it's like a great opportunity to like take some of the blessings of the time. She said, Yakduru as-suhba, meaning like I corrupted that companionship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at the end, he basically takes it to another level, mashallah. The Shaykh, he says, وَلَا يُتِمُّ مُقَامُ تَوْبَ إِلَّا بِالْإِنْتِهَاءِ إِلَى تَوْبَ مِمَّا دُونَ الْحَقِّ. SubhanAllah. He said that complete true tawbah, you won't taste it until you turn away from everything except Allah. That's not easy, man. It doesn't mean good stuff, right? So don't go home and be like, I can't hang out with you. I turn away from everything but Allah. That's not what he means, man. He means like, you become so aware of who Allah is that you forgot the sin. You just turn to Allah. So you see it in a macro way, like, I turned away from God. Yeah.
Is that the same people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I become, or be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Exactly.
The eyes and ears and hands and feet.
Because remember, the goal of the book is to teach ihsan. And to worship Allah as though you see Him. So he's saying, Abdurrahim is saying, isn't that like the hadith where Allah says, Kuntu sam'u alladhi yasma'u bi, I'll become the hearing by which they hear, basru yubsiru bi, the vision by which they see, the hand by which they grab, the feet. Exactly. So he's saying at that moment, I just turned to al-haq. Kullu ma siwa al-haq. So I acknowledge I've done evil, but instead of like getting, I'm at a place where I've acknowledged I've turned away from haq. So I turned to Allah. Tubu ilallah. And he says, and that means that at that point, this is kind of deep, man, that person, when they turn to the haqq, that means that they examine the cause of the repentance. Like what triggered the sin? We talked about it in the very beginning, not only the sin, what triggers it. Like, for example, my wife is here. If I buy a bag of chips, man, it's gone, bro. By like, especially like, mashallah, you know what I'm saying? And Trader Joe's joints, it's gone, right? So I need to be aware of what triggers the sin. Jim Carrey used to say, between paradise and hell is the sandwich at night. Right, the idea of like, what triggers me? So to reach that point, I go, so now he takes it backwards. So I recognize, I turn to Allah, then I recognize what triggered the sin, and then I recognize the sin itself. Yeah.
It's not just a one-time process, right?
Exactly. Of course, because like the Prophet ﷺ said, Sa'atun wa sa'a, when Hudhayfa came to the Prophet, said, like, I'm not always able to keep that high station of Iman. I became a hypocrite. He said, no, it's normal. You're going to go up and down. Al-Iman yazid wa yanqis. Ihsan yazid wa yanqis. Awareness goes up and down. Right? That's going to happen. And what does it mean by the hands by which you grab and the eyes? It means that I'm going to be fulfilling the obligations, the commands. Right? I'm going to be observing the faith as it should be observed. And the best way to do that is the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The balance of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one is a greater muhsin than Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes we think about the scales of the Day of Judgment where it's weighing deeds, good deeds versus bad deeds. But I feel like from this discussion, it's not as much the deed as it is your attitude towards Allah and where you are when you're dying.
Yeah, I mean, if I do evil, it's evil, but God knows the intention. Like, was I forced to do that? Like, did I have another choice? Did I have a way out? Like, those are all taken into consideration, unless it's harming someone else.
Right. But I'm trying to understand, like, the language related to skills, you know, like weighing your deeds.
The actions, but this says the fi'al, right? The actions will be weighed. We understand, of course, like, the intention is there. But, yani, only Allah knows what's in the hearts of the people. But both are there, internal, external. Any other? Yes, ma'am.
Number three, where he says reducing is considered as act of defiance. So, but isn't that, can't you see that as a process?
So I said if it's a process-based sin, that's different, right? If it's a sin that's rooted in process, inshallah, one of the scholars said that a process, like drug addiction, for example, right? The process of reaching that point is in itself a form of tawbah. But we're talking about sins that I could stop immediately. Yes, ma'am. Yes?
I was just going to say, to answer your question, I don't know, but isn't it like a deed is accepted by the intention and the action? So it's both. It's like we get rewarded for an intention even if we didn't do the deed because we had the intention to do it. And then also, like, if I get $5, the deed is good because that's what I can do versus like someone who can give more. So I think it's both.
Mashallah. Anyone else? Yes, sir. That's all right, bro. Don't worry about that, man.
In terms of like looking at like you mentioned like time wasting, and then also we live in a day and age where like leisure is the goal. How do you balance that with like the ambition of getting to a state where God is your hands, your eyes, your ears? Like, is it to the extent of like, when I go home, I'm not watching the Clippers-Warriors game.
Oh, no. Yeah. It may be for certain people, right? Go ahead. But like, not some of us commoners, you know what I'm saying? What he means by wasting time is either when I'm doing evil or I'm not doing good when I should be doing good, when I can do good, right? But we know the process. I mean, he went home and his wife said he used to serve us, he used to spend time with us. So the idea of balancing leisure, right? But we need leisure moments, right? But if it comes to the point where it's consuming my life and it's taking me, it, like, think about it in the form of like a clinical issue, where if I'm so anxious that it kind of like threatens my ability to function as a normal person. So if I'm going late, if I'm late to work every day because I'm playing Fortnite, it's kind of a problem. You see what I'm trying to say? So losing that balance. But again, not going to extremes. Yes, sir?
No, I was just going to say that point about not going to extremes. So, like, you said, we want to seek knowledge, but I'm saying that you can't seek knowledge every hour of the day. So, it's like, or else you're going to search yourself out, you're going to put yourself out. So, it's about that.
And people have, and that's subjective, right? Like, there'll be different levels of balance in people's lives. Another question? Yes? Because it's the word that he's using in the text. Crime. Could be evil or wrongdoing as well. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you for that question. Any other questions before we... Yes, sir. You got to pay this time.
In the beginning, you said the first one was... might be misremembering, but like at one point it's like acknowledging the sin and then tying it back to like the implications of what that sin is.
Yeah.
Is there like a good way of like if we're not like hafiz or have the ability of like understanding like, okay, I know that backbiting is a sin and I know that I did this time. Like what would be the way of understanding like, okay, these are the implications.
Yeah, I hurt somebody. I mean, that's first and foremost. If I'm backbiting someone, usually I'm hurting them. I mean, that in itself is like أتحبون, you know, Allah says, would you like to eat لحم أخيه ميتة? Would you like to eat the flesh of a dead person? Right? That's backbiting. That in itself should be enough to make me, like, I've hurt somebody. Right? That, first and foremost, I've dishonored somebody. You know, I've said something about them that's not acceptable. That should weigh on my conscience as a believer.
Is there like a need to like tie it back to like the specific Quranic implications?
I mean, the Quranic implications in general is that it's bad. Mm-hmm. So like, I think for the person that's not a hafiz or doesn't know all the texts, like, just apply it to general evil. The other thing is, there's a great book, Riyad Salihin, The Gardens of the Righteous. It's a great question, man. Stop being self-deprecating. Don't say you're not articulate. That was awesome, alhamdulillah. All the questions are really good, mashallah. And always feel like, you know, feel motivated to ask. Like, if we make mistakes, I made mistakes. I guarantee I made mistakes. Like, that's how we are. Like, our community, we shouldn't expect perfection from each other. So, may Allah bless you, man. But, like, there's a great book called Gardens of the Righteous, 2 volumes, has little chapters, backbiting, slander, saying nice things, standing up for justice, right? Hadith versus the Quran. They're, like, super easy for people to read. So I encourage people to have that book. It's 2 volumes, Gardens of the Righteous. You can get it. Anyone except the one that came out of Saudi Arabia would be probably really good, because that one actually has been changed. They took out chapters. They pulled a biblical move. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, but other people do it too. Like, not the publications from there, but unfortunately, when you have dictatorships and other things, like, not just in Saudi Arabia, but texts get changed. So, for example, in that book, he has a chapter on the virtues of visiting the grave of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's gone, bro. That chapter's gone, man. But, like, that's in the original book. Like, leave it there. Or at least tell people, like, we took this chapter out, you know? The chapter on loving Ahl al-Bayt. It's like, it's gone. Like, why is it gone? Right? That doesn't mean also all the students who go to Saudi Arabia or study are bad people. We should never say that. A lot of great students came from there. But sometimes the official political line that's taken influences the translation. Like King James Version, you know? You got the King version of Riyad Salihin. Strange, right? Let's quickly go to the next one, and then we'll just read through it, and then we'll stop, inshallah. The third station is al-muhasaba. Qala babu al-muhasaba. Muhasaba is a word which means to audit oneself. Accountability. The hasub is a computer. In Fusha, because it counts numbers. So they call it hasub, not computer. But if you say hasub, nobody's going to know what you're going to talk about, what you're talking about. The hasib or the hasab is the accountant. Just like to give you an idea, right? So muhasaba is like taking inventory of myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, believers, be dutiful to Allah, and let every soul look to what it sins for tomorrow morning. Like, I'm going to translate it literally on purpose. Let every soul look to what it sins for tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning means the day of judgment. Why do you call it tomorrow morning? To show how close it is. وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَالْتَنْظُرْ لَمْ لَمْ أَمَرِ شَيْخ وَالْتَنْظُرْ مَجْزُومْ. He's taking grammar, so I'm just explaining to him a grammar rule, which means every soul must look to what it's sending for the hereafter. So the idea is I'm auditing myself. Like, what am I sending forward? What are my investments for the future? And of course, the statement of Sayyidina Umar and also Sayyidina Ali, they both said this, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبَلْ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Audit yourself before you're audited. And Imam Hassan Basri used to say, like, the people who are most rigorous in auditing themselves now will have the least auditing in the hereafter. Right? To, like, mindfulness and awareness of where I am in my life. Here's a question. Shouldn't that come before repentance? Like, shouldn't I audit myself? Then I'm like, oh, snap, I did this wrong. Now I need to repent. Like, why did he put al-muhasaba auditing after repentance. Yes?
I guess there's like a sense of humility and being so over things that you might do unconsciously. Because there are things that you might sin that don't necessarily register as sin in your mind.
That's a good point, mashallah. I didn't think about that. Mashallah. Anyone else? Yes? No, that was original. That was an original bar, mashallah. That was great, alhamdulillah. And that you actually touched on the point. I mean, I said it earlier just to like give people an answer. Yes, sir.
Is it like basically you have to take an audit, or you have to repent in order to get an accurate audit? So in order to get an accurate counting, you have to do a reflection and realize what you are seeing in order to get.
Yeah. Good, mashallah. Remember we talked about repentance is constant. So the initial repentance is like through hidayah. Like it's very powerful. Anyone that's ever been in those positions, you know, like those are very powerful moments. I remember, subhanAllah, when I converted, I went to the mosque by the university to pray. And I heard this lady like screaming, man. So I thought like something happened to her, you know. Stupid white convert guy. But then, like, I saw her in sujood and she was crying to Allah. So I left. You know, I don't even know who this person is, by the way. I don't even know. I don't know her. I don't know who she is. But, like, those moments are powerful, man. So often, like, those aren't moments where we're, like, calculative and we've thought about this and that. We're just, like, coming back. Like he said, ma siwa al-haq. Like, I'm going back to the truth. Then after that, I start to learn, like, to be more nuanced. I start to see clearer. I start to have the opportunity for auditing. So Tawbah will always be there. But this is like the outcome of that process. Now I have basira. Now I see. Now I'm honest. Because the conditions of muhasaba are the following. Number one is honesty with myself. Number two, feeling a sense of impoverishment to Allah. Like I need Allah to help me. Number three is a strong supporting cast. People I can ask, like, did I do that? Did I do that, really? They're like, yeah, you did it. Where you did it is where you get it, right? And then number four is being constantly dedicated to it. Because if I'm not in a state of muhasaba, I may be in a state of ghafla. Yes? That's why it's a constant. So this is the process, right? Remember we said earlier, it's not linear. Sorry guys, I gotta finish. So forgive me, Habibi. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqwa Allah wal tanzur nafsu ma qaddamat li ghad. O believers, be dutiful to Allah and let every soul, it must look for what it's sending to the future. Then he says, "Rahimahullah, والمحاسب لها ثلاثة أركان." He said that the auditing, the self-auditing, has three foundational pillars. The first one is, "أن تقيس بين نعمته وجناياتك," is that you become aware of Allah's blessings and your shortcomings. That I become aware of God's blessings in my life and then my crimes, my sins, the evil I've committed. So I compare and I'm like, man, how could I do this when I have these blessings? And of course, then he says, وَهَذَا يَشُقَ عَلَى مَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْيَاءٍ. He loves threes, man. So he says like, and this will be difficult for someone unless they have three things. Number one, نُورُ الْحِكْمَةِ. They have the light of wisdom. Wisdom means experience also. Knowledge, but experience. Number two, we're going to unpack these more next time. وَسُوءَ الظَّنِّ بِالنَّفْسِ, that they don't trust their soul. So they have a suspicion when their soul says, it's okay, no problem. They're like, nah. And number three, with tamiz wa ni'ma min al fitna, that they're able to distinguish between a blessing and a trial. How do I know the difference? Sheikh Al-Lakhami, great scholar Madiki, explained this book. He said, you know the difference between a ni'ma and a fitna? A ni'ma is something that takes you to good. Fitna is something that takes you away from it. The second foundation of muhasaba is that you know the difference between what God has commanded you to do and what you failed to perform of those commandments. So I recognize, like, these are the things I should be doing, and then here's my failures in doing it. It makes sense, right? Like, my boss asked me to do something and I fail to do it, then I'm going to be evaluated based on what he told me to do and what I failed to perform. And the last he said, and ta'rif anna kulla ta'a, that you should know that every act of obedience which God is pleased with is something that can potentially be held against you if you fail to do it. وَكُلَّ مَعْصِيَةٍ, and every evil that I may fall into, right, is the opposite. That he's not pleased with will also be against me. So we'll unpack this next time, inshallah. But just to give you like a little bit to think about, I'll repeat them again. But I'm going to skip that part where it says, وَهَذَا يَشُقَ عَلَى مَنْ لَيْسَهُ تَلَاتَ, because we're going to get lost in threes, threes, threes. Like the whole book, he's like, three, 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 three. Number two, three, 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 three. Number three. It's like, man, stop doing that, Shaykh. God bless him. So he said, الْمُحَاسَبَ لَهَا ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْكَانٍ. Muhasaba has three foundations. The first, and تُقِسَ بَيْنَ نِعْمَتِهِ وَجَنَايَتِكَ, to think about God's blessings and my failure, my crimes, my evil. Here he didn't use the word sin, by the way. He used crime, evil. What? Okay, we're going to skip that. Then he says, the second is that I become aware of God's commandments and how I failed to perform those commands. And that at that moment, I understand the ta'a alayya, like when God has blessed me to perform something, that's a blessing. And when I've failed to perform something, that's a test that I need to work on. The third is that I know that every act of obedience which God is pleased with could be potentially held against me. And every act of disobedience that God does not approve of could also be held against me. So I look at my life and I see those two things. What commands have I failed to fulfill? What evil have I performed? So then I'm able to evaluate myself. I'm able to audit myself. Yes, ma'am. I failed to perform it. So Allah ordered me to pray and I didn't do it. So ta'a ma fa'altu biha. So like I have something I'm supposed to do and I'm not doing it. I know I'm supposed to do it. So that should cause me to I should be like, whoa, I need to work on that. That's what I meant by distilled. Any other questions? Next week, I'll be out of town. So we may have someone here, I'm working on it. And then the week before that, I'll be Ramadan. So we'll be here. And inshallah, of course, Ramadan is going to start. Alhamdulillah, may Allah balighna Ramadan, inshallah. Wa habib ilayna Qur'an. Any questions or dua requests? Everybody, inshallah, I hope you're okay. Yes, ma'am.
I really appreciate that my grandmother, she's not very well. She's in Jordan, and she's in critical condition.
What's your grandma's name?
Sayyida Fatima.
So we ask Allah and Yashfi Sayyida Fatima, inshallah, shifa anka min ash-shaman, inshallah, to make this marad, yani, kafarat al-laha. And may Allah bless you. And I'm sure it's hard to be away from your grandmother, inshallah. So we're here for you as a community, inshallah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
su'ul dhanbi nafs. That's different, right? He's saying now if your soul is, in general, the approach of the soul should be like Al-Busayri said, Al-Nafsu Katifli. He said, you know, your soul is like a child. If you don't stop it from breastfeeding, it will never stop. So the general approach toward the soul is one of suspicion, unless it's telling me to do something good. So there's always that exception, right? Like if my soul's like, hey, be nice to people. No, I don't know about that, man. I don't trust my soul. To people, man. It means here, if it's encouraging us to be lax, nasu lawama, right? Or amara bisu. So the soul is encouraging me to do something wrong or justifying something evil, then I need to look at it in a suspicious way. Good question, mashallah.
Sheikh, you inflict guilt deliberately? You inflict guilt deliberately?
What do you mean?
Like, nafsu lawama.
Nafs al-lawama, of course, is going to come into play when I'm doing something wrong. It reminds me, like, holds me accountable. So an outcome of that may be indeed guilt, inshallah.
Like a healthy form of guilt.
Yeah. Is everybody okay, inshallah? So we pray for our students. This is the home stretch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for you, all of you, and for those of you who have dua requests and maybe you're too shy,